Welcome to the Convo with Keisha. On today's episode, I am chatting with Candace Spears, who is a mom, marketer, and a strategist, fleeing corporate America with her identity, time, and talent in hand. And she's on a mission to help other side-hustling entrepreneurs do the same. Candace talks and coaches startup strategy, career growth, full-time entrepreneurship transition, and how to balance family life. These are all things that we encounter on this journey to make a bigger impact beyond the walls of a 9-to-5. Tune in to the convo. Hey, Candace, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lakeisha.
Me too. So start off telling the audience a little bit about yourself.
So Candace, who is Candace? So I am a mom, I'm a marketer, I'm a strategist, I'm a wife. I am on this super big life change, bigger impact journey to really, you know, own my identity, own my freedom, own my time, own my talent. Not only to do that for me, but to help other women especially do the same thing. So Lakeisha, you know, I am currently a manager of a team of about 12 in corporate America. And a few years ago, it's funny, a few years ago, I went through the situation where I had changed jobs. I had been recruited out and recruited back into GE for the second time. And in a marketing operations role. And it was one of those times, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Lakeisha, where it was like, okay, I got this nice job. I got this title. I work for this company. Okay. You know, I'm feeling myself. So anyway, that was happening back then. And I had gotten into this role. And when I got in it, first off, it wasn't everything that I hoped for it to be. But trying to make lemonades out of lemons, I was like, okay, well, I can find some things to do that are valuable. So working marketing campaigns and all this other stuff to bring in revenue and all this good stuff. And so anyway, long story short, as time went on, maybe about a couple months in, the general manager that had brought me in, he moved on to a new role. We ended up with a new chief marketing officer. Just a lot of changes happened. And so I remember, as it came time for me to do a review, because it was nearing the end of the year, with my new manager, and he was like, hey, you know, you're doing great. You're doing all these wonderful things, adding value. So I'm like, okay, this is great. Let's talk about next year, right? Next year's goals, all this good stuff. And he said to me, Lakeisha, I want to do that in a separate conversation. So I'm like, okay. And you already know like how this is trailing up. And so I'm like, okay, well, we can do that. We can do that. And so that next time that we got into a conversation, he said to me, Candace, we're going to be eliminating your role.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. So actually, surprisingly, Lakeisha, my first reaction was actually, I was kind of happy about it. And the reason I was happy, right, because here I was back at GE for the second time, different function, but here I was back at GE, and GE was huge. This means I didn't have to wait 18 months to move my own company, right? To find a different thing, right? Release for that. And so I'm like, okay, this is good. Time went on, you know, I started looking around at things and all this good stuff, and things just were not shaking out. And I remember one night sitting in the parking lot after work, and I really started to cry. So I had this breakdown. And for me, it was like, Candace, you are, too talented, like too amazing. Like, this is my own self-talk, right? Too amazing, too talented. You have so much to offer. Like, this will never happen to me again. Is what I said to myself. Like, it will never happen to me. Like, I need to own my identity. I need to own who I am as Candace Spears. And so that kind of started my journey. And as I had moved forward into my next company, I took the attitude, Lakeisha, of like, this is what I offer, what I bring to this workplace is mine. And that's where, when I went into the next company, you know, I was finding that there were things, I would lead these different sessions and people come up to me and say, oh, why did you do that? I love the way you did this. I love the way you did that. And I had that mindset like, oh, okay, they love what I did. What I did was what I did was mine. So let me go ahead and write this down and, you know, wrote a book and shared it with the world, carrying that attitude. But I found myself in the same situation again when the CIO at the time, who was a big sponsor of me, I mean, I had, with the help of him, like my talent had exploded in terms of visibility, pitches to the CEO, all this other stuff. He was retiring. And it was another blow for me that was like, wow, here you are again. You kind of have allowed yourself to get wrapped up into who you are in this one place, in this one workspace, when what you have to offer is so much bigger. And so that's where I am on this journey, and I've built my business and on that premise of helping other women know that they are so super talented and helping them make their exit from corporate America as well. So that's my story. Long story, not so short, but that's the story.
Yeah, but I love it. It's awesome because a lot of us are in that space. I know myself, I am, because, you know, I'm in between where I work for a really good company, like really, really, really great company. But I'm at a place where I'm ready to jump. Like, I'm not a real good employee. I'm just going to be honest, because the whole
you sound like
yeah, the whole time I'm there, I'm thinking about the stuff I need to do for my businesses. Not that I don't give 100% to what I'm doing at work, but I'm always trying to find a way out. I feel like, if for a lack of a better, I guess, explanation or visual, I feel like I'm in like a halfway house where I can, where I can't leave because I have obligations, but then I can leave because I have good behavior. But then it's like, what do I do? You know, like, you don't know, you're like, you feel like you're in between. So I think that what you do really helps a lot of us, because we feel like we owe these companies this thing. This is my identity. This is who I identify with, this company and that company. And if I, even though I have this gift, this thing that God has blessed me with, that he's probably pushing me to birth, I can't identify with anything else, because I've been this corporate person at GE. I've been this corporate person at HEB. And so I can't leave because that's where my identity is kind of like wrapped up in. And I don't know what to do from there. So I think it's an awesome story. I think it's what people need to hear.
And I think too, Lakeisha, like all too often, right, we find ourselves just kind of like, how often do you go to like a party, a networking event, whatever? People ask you what you do. And depending on how far you are into the journey, now you seem pretty passionate, so you probably have a different answer. But all too often, right, we're like, oh, I work for so and so company, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, okay, you're there. All right. But what do you do? What value do you bring to the world? Right. And so often, like, we fall into this. And by the way, right, there's nothing wrong with people who choose to do that and be in that lane, right? But there are some of us who know, right? Like you and me, Lakeisha, we know we are called for more, right? We know there's more to do. And so it's that recognizing that who you are is what you bring to the table, whether you're in that 9-to-5, you're in the community, you're talking to a friend, you're talking to whoever, it's getting closer in touch to what that is, that impact you want to make.
That's true. And I think that's so key. I was just talking to someone the other day and I forgot how do we even get on the subject? But, you know, she was talking about, she said, you know, most of us that own businesses, we're afraid to call ourselves CEOs. That's what we are. But why do we not identify with that? Like you said, if we give our elevator speech or if we introduce ourselves, we say, oh, well, I am a curbside manager at HEB. No, that's my job. That's not who I am.
Right.
That's not my role. That's not what I do. It's like we give unknowingly, but we give power to other people to say, oh, my business is not good enough for me to introduce you to it. So let me give you this 9-to-5 that is legitimate, girl, that may have all of these things. And I mean, when she said it, was so eye-opening to where I was like, guilty. Guilty.
Right, right. And listen, I have been absolutely guilty, like so guilty. And I think it's rooted into, like, you hit on something a little bit, like being, I forget how you said it exactly, but not wanting to introduce our business to mm-hmm. the world as if it's not right. good enough. Like, I think there is something there where it's like, okay, am I deserving enough? Is this worthy? Like, will people laugh at me? Will people, you know, wonder? Right. And a lot of times in the early stages, it's not even so much will people laugh at me. It's a matter of, I'm afraid to say I have this business because, okay, people will think that I'm not doing my regular mm-hmm. job. And, yep. you know what I mean? And this and that. And it's all these things that keep us blocked, right? And keep us from realizing that, wait a second, if your eyes are locked on the fact that, not just the fact that, okay, I'm going to be a CEO, I am a CEO because this is starting now, then you start to recognize that it doesn't really matter.
Yes. yes.
It doesn't. And a lot of times it's mental too.
Right.
Like we think in our own head, oh, people are watching us. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're doing that. And I think once we take a turn, Lakeisha, to say, I'm less worried about what people say and more worried about the lives that I'm not changing because I'm being quiet.
Right.
You know, like it gives a different perspective.
Right. It does. And I think a lot of times when you get to where we are, and I'm not saying like we're just so above anyone else. Please, listeners, don't take it that mm-hmm. way. But when you get right. to a point where you just don't give a damn, excuse my language, you mm-hmm. will do whatever. You will say whatever. Because yes. like now when I go to functions and they're like, hey, what do you do? Well, ATB is last. I'll say that last, mm-hmm. but I'll say, hey, I'm a Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a blogger. I am a full-time employee here, but I have this mm-hmm. event management firm. I'm also an influencer. You know, I'm finna mm-hmm. talk about me first.
Yep.
And then I'll talk about yep. that 9-to-5 because, again, I am grateful for that 9-to-5. But again, I know that I'm called for something greater. I'm called for something right. bigger. And I'm not ashamed to say that because I think, too, sometimes people or we allow people to shame us into wanting to like our job. Like for the longest, I love my job. I absolutely. And mm-hmm. I mean, I still do. Let me just say that I still do. I feel mm-hmm. this tug of being pulled out to something greater. And I know God has me in this incubation stage. He has me in this waiting stage for right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I love going to work. I love my 9-to-5 job. I just know that there's something mm-hmm. else greater out there. But people will shame you like, oh, you don't have faith. You don't want to step out. And it's not that. I just like what I do as well as I like my side hustle or I like my full-time entrepreneur business. Like, I like both.
Right.
I don't think anything's wrong with right. that.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with being multi-passionate. And I think the thing too is, you know, when you talked a little bit about loving your 9-to-5. So I enjoy my 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. I enjoy my team. I'm big on people and people development and coaching people. And, you know, that's also right. something that I do as part of my business.
Right.
So it's a pleasure to see. But I think when you know that you're called for more,
right.
you often see a distinction between people who are running from something, mm-hmm. right? And people who are running towards something, right. right? So it's like, yeah, it's not that I don't dislike this, but hey, honey, I am called to do
right.
more. And the longer I stay here,
mm-hmm. exactly.
I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think our employers respect us more because they may or may not know what our side hustle is or what our ultimate goal is, but there are boundaries, mm-hmm. clear boundaries that are drawn. So for me as a manager, I'm required to work a certain number of hours a week. I have a team of 40 people that I manage.
Oof,
yes,
Jesus.
40 people. Girlfriend, when I tell you folks don't want to, folks do not want to shop for their own groceries anymore. You understand? So job security is there. It's there. But at the end of the day, they know that family will come first. And then when mm-hmm. It's time to go because I got another job to get to. They respect mm-hmm. you more because they know that while you're there, you're going to give what you're supposed to give. But outside right. of that time, there's a boundary line there that right. that you don't allow them to cross And mm-hmm. they respect you for being upfront about what that is.
Right. And I think that's important, Lakeisha. The boundary drawing is super important, because I think once you get intentional about this is the path that I'm called on first, you know, I don't know. Do you have children, Lakeisha?
Yes, but they some grown folks, child.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me tell you. So on my side of the fence, my little ones are not grown. So the littlest one just turned six. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get this right. So now they're in their even stage. So 6, 8, 10. Having those three girls and being a wife and, you know, being active in the church, right, and running my own business and 9 to 5, time is important.
Yes.
Right. And either you really step up, right, to be the CEO, mm-hmm. and that's what you're called to do more, that involves you saying no to things,
yep,
and drawing, right, and drawing the lines in the sand.
Exactly.
And heck, maybe even getting your groceries delivered. I know, yep. I thank God for my husband, because he'll do most of that, but right, it involves those boundaries,
right.
I agree with you completely that your employer will respect you, right? If you get to the point where one, you stop being afraid of, oh my gosh, I'm doing this thing on the side, right?
Right. Right.
And you really act in that confidently. But when you bring your best self to your 9 to 5 and you bring your best self to the work that you do in your business, mm-hmm. you'll start to find it easier to draw those boundaries, because you're right on. Like, people know that when you are there, that they are getting the best from
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Right. And they respect the fact that you're able to give them the best and do all this
and
other
do
stuff.
Other
really?
Stuff. Yes. 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 It's, and that's so true for me. Just recently, my store was having this sensitive training from HR about, you know, how to connect with partners, because that's what we call our employees, partners. And so mm-hmm. I had an event that day that I was speaking at. And at first I was like, because this is a new general manager to the store, so he didn't know me. And I was like, mm-hmm. okay, God, I don't know how I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it, because I'm already there. I'm already booked, contract signed. Like, there's no getting out of this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course the host understood, just in case something happened. So, you know, I shoot an email to him with, you know, the flyer in there. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, can you come to my office? I'm like, oh God, okay. What, you know, first thing I thought was something badly. And I'll go in mm-hmm. and he was like, don't stress about this training. He was like, I didn't know you did event planning. Oh my gosh. Like, that's so awesome. And he was like, how long have you been doing? Like, he took an interest in mm-hmm. what I was doing, and it made me feel like so much better about, you know, where I'm at, what mm-hmm. I'm doing, and the fact that he, although he was new, he understood where those boundaries were and where those mm-hmm. boundaries always will be as it relates to, you know, what I do. I think you're right, right. when you say no. No is that's our best friend. No. No, yes. To the kids. No.
Yes.
To those outside factors, no. And I think you brought up something mm-hmm. else too. Like, for me, I have job security if I decide to ever stay at this job for any length of time. This mm-hmm. job mm-hmm. helps me in a sense, not only, you know, for the compensation for working there, but on those days when I'm off, and those are the days that are dedicated to my business, someone delivers mm-hmm. my groceries. So someone's shopping for me and someone's bringing my groceries to my house, because I have things that I have to get done so that I can mm-hmm. do it. Cause it's just me and two kids, no husband, no nothing. And they're grown. I mean, they're 21 and 23 and they have their mm-hmm. own lives. Very active girl. Like they super active, you know, work, party, study, party, you know, it's all
they
that.
Own thing.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, do I really want to take the time to go and shop when I do it all day, every day for 10 hours a day? Do I want to do that on my day off?
Right.
But it gives right. me a way to work on my craft and be mm-hmm. present in that and still get stuff done for my home.
Right.
Still get things done for my home.
Yeah, I think there are absolutely advantages that you have to look at. Right. I was just talking to somebody about this recently. Once you have decided, right, and you may not be crystal clear on, okay, this is exactly what my calling is. You may not be.
Right.
But once you've decided, like, this is the way I want to go, and I think I want to help in this area, you should be taking every opportunity to, within your 9 to 5, mm-hmm. think about how you can exercise that calling that you think you have as part of that 9 to 5 work, as right. part of the value that you bring.
Right. right?
And I think they're just there. It's, I think it's important, just kind of like we talked about earlier, I think it's important that in your 9 to 5, right, and when you're moving towards being called for more, that you really are running towards more,
right,
and not just running away from something.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Do right. you really see those benefits, and how do I leverage this for what I'm doing now?
Right. That's so true. And I think you said something a lot earlier, you know, about passion. You know, that passion plays a big part in that. So let me ask you this. You know, why are you so passionate about us owning our identity, our life, our freedom? Like, what mm-hmm. is that you're running toward, where you created an entire business out of this to help other people? You know, why are you so passionate about that?
Yeah, I'm so passionate on a number of levels. One, so I've always been, I kind of consider myself a serial entrepreneur, and I had another business before. It was a catering business some years ago. But I'm a big believer in not being shackled.
Yes.
From, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
now I'm thinking about the whole halfway house.
Right.
Earlier that just popped back into my mind. But I am a big believer in not being shackled in terms of just your creativity and the service that you can give in the world and how many lives that you can touch.
Right.
And when I think about some of the times where, you know, I have touched literally hundreds at work with, you know, a training or seminar, helping them think differently about a certain way they do a process or whatever. And then I think about how many other people don't know about this and can
yeah.
be changed in the way that, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's partly that perspective. And then I think about my kids, my girls, as they're growing up, and Lakeisha, they are super creative. Like, these girls, whether they are singing, they're putting on YouTube videos, mm-hmm. they're just massively creative. And
right.
I think about, I want these girls to harness and know that they can do and take that anywhere.
Yes.
And that, you know what I mean? And that whatever they want, they can have, they own it. Like, it's their life. And I think, you know, the business that I'm pushing forward and how I'm trying to help other people, I feel like it's important for me to model that for them.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I think that's key. And I love the fact that you're doing that and that you even talked about it, because I think back to my time, and Lord, I'm finna tell my age, but I'll be 44 next year. So I've always felt like I was a leader in something. Like, I've always felt like you never had to ask me. I kind of just took charge, and not to be like, oh, bossy. Like I just took charge. Like, I was able to take care of things. And so my mom was like, well, you're going to college. And I'm like, really? You know, like, that was the only way out. Whereas now, like, my son is not in college, super creative, mm-hmm. has an entrepreneurial spirit, entrepreneurial mind. So mm-hmm. I want to tap into that right now at 21. My daughter's 23. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have that spirit. She wants to be a nurse. So whatever mm-hmm. she wants to be as a nurse, you know, however she wants it to go, even if she decides one day, I want to step out and be a practitioner and have my own business, I'm mm-hmm. going to embrace that, just like you're embracing your girls. I think back right. in the day, parents didn't know how. And a lot of us got degrees mm-hmm. that we're not even using. I got
Girl.
Student loans that I'm paying for for a degree I don't even use.
Girl, oh my gosh. That is, this, I swear, like, this is like a whole nother topic, because you are so right. And I think it's not that, you know, our parents were ever, you know, ill-intentioned or anything like that. But, you know, my husband and I, my husband's an entrepreneur himself. We have very different outlooks now than we were given. And we both have bachelor's degree. He's got a master's degree. Like, we went through the whole schooling deal. But to be honest, like, for our children, we kind of are like, what's the point? Like, we want them to not go somewhere and rack up a whole bunch of debt. No, like, you build a business, serve, make your millions, and do what you have to do, right? It's not about that. It's not that formality of, oh, I went to this university and this and that. Like, screw that.
Exactly. And I think that's what kind of like brought it home for me. And I know you and I, in our initial conversation, you know, you talked about listening to the episode with Ramesh, and Ramesh brought it home for me about how we just want it to be so perfect. And he's like, just do it. Like, get out there and do it, because your customer is looking for what you have. And while you sitting over there playing, trying to perfect it, the next person and pick them up.
Exactly.
The next person and pick them up. You want to go get all these degrees to pay all this money. And it's crazy. No, not one client. And I have been doing event planning for 7 years. I've only been blogging for like a year now. No one has ever asked me for my credentials. Not once. Even as an event planner, I have no certifications as an event planner. I have none of that now. I do trainings. I attend trainings. I make sure that I'm up on the current trends and things like that. But not one client in the 7 years that I have done this business has said, hey, Lakeisha, what degree do you have?
Right. It's not about it. It's right. Like, it's not about that. And we get so caught up. But if we actually take a second to even think in our own personal lives, like,
yes,
the things that we go and get help for, blah, 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 blah. Do we look for all that?
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Exactly. Like Ramesh said, the only thing that most clients are concerned about is, can you solve their problem?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how much, and they might not even care how much it costs. They want to know, can you solve their problem? I had a guest on not too long ago that talked about pricing and why we scared to give people pricing. He basically talked about how he talks people out of working with him. He talks them out of working with him, because he's like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm a good fit, blah, blah, blah. And by the time he's, you know, worked out these fears and all of the things that kind of stop us from working with people, and then he drops the price. You ready? Because now we've gotten rid of all of the minutia. We done got rid of the stuff that may stop you from later on saying, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea, blah, blah, blah. He's cleared that up. Now he's talking pricing and not being afraid to charge, you know, what you're worth.
Right.
You know, like, really doing that. And I think that's key. I really do think that's key.
It is. And I think that's an evolution, like, in and of itself. And it gets back to that mental game. And I will tell you, so I'm a big believer in investing in coaches. In fact, I just dropped a pretty penny right now for another one, because there is a mental thing. And when you're building your business, especially when you're starting out, and maybe even, you know, while you're a part-time entrepreneur, you're kind of like, well, I'm not doing this thing full time. So maybe I need to discount it, because, you know, they think, because if you were really good, you wouldn't be working this. Trust me, all the stuff has gone through my head. So I am completely aware of, you know, of what it is. But the reality is, no, I think you hit the nail on the head, Lakeisha. People are looking for you to help them solve their problem. And if the problem is painful enough, okay, they will pay for the solution. But we have to be careful that we're not like, oh, I don't know, that we're not basing our pricing on what we think we would pay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And talking yourself out of the money that should be coming your way, because you're too caught up in you and not caught up enough in, you know, seeing that you're helping somebody move along in their transformation, and that is worth it.
Exactly. I think that's so key. And it, to me, it goes back to what you were saying about, you know, taking ownership of your whole identity. You're basing your pricing off of what you think someone is thinking instead of you basing your pricing on the value that you bring to mm-hmm. that particular person. Let's be, like I told someone the other day, let's be honest. There mm-hmm. is nothing new under the sun, number one. And right. a lot of times, a lot of products and services that people purchase are for convenience. Mm-hmm. Who the hell can shop for their own groceries? Mm-hmm. Nobody. Mm-hmm. They do it. They order from my company for a symbol of convenience. And they don't right. mind paying for this convenience because they don't have to go. They don't have to stand in line.
Right.
If they choose to pick up, they're only driving to pick up groceries. If they're getting delivery, they don't have to drive in traffic because Houston traffic is horrid at certain times of the day. Like, you don't want to go outside. It's serious. Like, you have to literally plan, like, okay, if I get to this side of town, I know I got to leave by this time so I don't hit traffic. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. But you provide a convenience. Just like for me, anyone can Google how to plan a wedding, how to plan a gala. Like, you may not be able to do what I do, but then I have to show you what skills, what I'm bringing to the table. I bring, you know, discounts. I bring certain level of resources with me. Mm-hmm. It's nothing that these people can't do on their own. You're providing a service to solve a problem of, I don't have time to plan a wedding.
Right.
I don't have time. So let me drop this money to you and you take it over. I've had clients mm-hmm. that's like, look, I don't even want to know unless I got to sign something. These are my colors. This is what I want. You just make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have time.
Right.
The details.
And I think when we tap into that, when we tap into what's really behind it being worth them spending the money, and our right. marketing and our messages tap into the thing that either brings them extreme delight or solves that extreme pain, right?
Right.
You don't have to worry about yeah. will this be, oh my gosh, is it too much? Focus on what you're solving for them and how that
exactly
that transaction, what it's giving to them, right? Not the details of, oh, you'll have, you know, 5 hours of this, 5 hours of that. No, you will no right. longer have this headache and you will have your free time to go do whatever, you know, whatever. Exactly. So yeah,
exactly. That I want to go back to when you talked about, you know, ownership and not owning everything. How did you recognize that you weren't doing that?
I think I recognized it. So when I talked about being in the car and crying about it, I think that was the recognition moment because I was so like, okay. So before I had moved back into GE, I was at a different company and I was a global product manager for the software product portfolio. So I did that product management and the product marketing for North America on that. And so I had been recruited out. And there was a lot of political stuff going on. So it made it easy for me, you know, when the recruiter called to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was already sort of in a mind state of like, oh, okay, GE wants me. Ooh. And they want me to be the Marketing America's leader. Ooh. Can't wait to update my LinkedIn profile. Ooh. You know what right. I mean? Like, I was in that headspace of like, ooh, I have arrived. And, you know, I had made this massive switch from IT into marketing and now in a bigger firm and all that. And so I really had that when that moment happened. That was like a crush. When you think you are all that in a bag of chips, like,
right.
And not that you aren't, right? But your mind is in the place where you kind of get this sort of doubt, like, wait a second, they don't want me?
Yeah.
Like, they don't, you know, you have those moments. And that made me realize, like, I had to go through some of that, like, wait, what? Stop. Right. Pause, right. rewind. Like, what's really going on? So that's how I knew. Like, I was allowing all of my talents and stuff to just be sucked up because, like, you know, on the outside, right, I knew what it meant to have a business, to employ people,
mm-hmm.
business, and, you know,
right.
do so much. So I had that validity. I knew my worth, but the fact that I was even questioning it or crying because of this, like, that my confidence, me, confident me,
right, just like,
yeah something was out of whack.
Yeah. And I think it, like you said, it was almost like a cleansing, because, you know, we cry when we mad and we want to fight, mm-hmm. but we cry too when it's like, so sometimes it's like, like you just get it.
Right.
You know, like you get it and it's a release. And you're like, thank you, God. Like, because I'm sitting here on this hamster wheel and the answer was like right there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like right there in front of me. And we feel like you said, you know, to not being shackled to certain things. I think we put those on ourselves and we feel like, you know, other people, you know, do that to us when we don't. Someone said to me the other day, like, oh, I feel like I'm stuck in this job. And they're totally unhappy. So I wrote a blog post that said, I'm judging you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in reference to when I worked at a previous company. And whenever I would get with my group of friends, my close circle of friends, what I call my row, you know, it was always this complaint fest, girl. I'm just going on and on. And so one day I met up with just one friend and she was like, I'm judging you. And I was like, why? She's like, I am tired of hearing you talk about this job. You're too smart. You're too talented. You don't like something. You need to get up and change it. If that's not, true. I'm judging you. And I was like, it was almost like a slap in the face. But Candace, I tell you, that's what I needed. Because when she said that, the next day, I went and applied for the job that I have now. And I said, you know, at that time, I was still trying to figure out, like, God, what do you want me? Is it this job, or should I take this leap of faith and do this full time? And I mean, it was seamless to get into this company and work. Like, it just, he just laid it out. And so I was like, I kept feeling like I was stuck. And I'm like, I wasn't stuck. Like, I had shackled myself.
Isn't that something, though? Like, how easy it is for you to be in your own in your own way.
Yes.
Like, and not even realizing it, and having, whether it's people, and this is why, Lakeisha, I think it's also important to surround ourselves with people that make us better.
Level up. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That people that push us, that will show you, that will judge you, right?
Yes.
Show you what you're doing, right? Because a lot of times it is just us hindering ourselves.
Yep.
Like, you talk about wanting to be in place X or wanting to set this goal. Okay. And what is the plan that you've created to get there? Have you done the actions? Have you, you know what I mean?
Right. And and that's so true.
And a lot of times, right? Action. Well, I'll say it like this. Action begets action.
Right.
Once you start, right, you're intentional, you start, and you start putting your plan in motion, I promise you, watch the doors start opening.
Yes.
Watch you start seeing the places and making it happen, right? Because your focus has changed and you're being intentional. And it happens, right? It gets back into a mental game too.
Exactly.
You know? And people,
exactly,
as we talk about like manifestation and that type of thing, it is real, but it's you. It's you that has to walk in it and walk in that action.
Right. Right. And I think that's so key, you know, when we talk about, you know, how some people feel held back. So in your opinion, what are some things that you feel like keep people stuck, knowing they're called to do more, knowing that they should be more, they should be like shouting what they're doing to the mountaintops, but they're getting nowhere? Like, what is your advice on that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is fear. And and fear from the standpoint, fear from a lot of standpoints. The first standpoint is, I don't really believe I can do this thing that I may be called for.
Right.
And I think that shows up in different ways. So I think one of the ways it shows up is, you know, I'm not sure I can do this. Let me be quiet about what I'm doing.
And
like we talked about earlier, at networking parties, I'll talk about the job that I work in, you know, just in case maybe there's somebody here, you know, that knows me or knows somebody else that knows me. And, you know, if this business that I want to do doesn't work out, I'll just keep it isolated here.
Right.
You know, I think that's a piece of it. I think fear from the standpoint of, You know, if I know that there's somebody that could potentially help me, I don't reach out to them because maybe I'm just a nobody in their eyes. Or what if they think this idea is stupid? Or, you know, what if it's just, there's so much what if just floating around. And I think that traps people a lot. Or thinking about, you know, which it is important to think about, but thinking about to an end of, okay, in order for me to do it and be more, you know, I don't have the money to do it.
Right.
I don't, you know, I don't have the time to do it. Da, da, da. There's so many excuses, right? You find yourself in excuse land, or when this happens, when I can leave my job, I can go and do this and go and do that.
Right.
You know, no, the reality is you can do it now if you change, you know, change the way you're thinking about it. And so I think just fear is one of the biggest limiters that just holds us back.
Right.
And stuff that we create.
Right.
And you know, one of the things, Lakeisha, that I like to say often is to give fear a hug. So I am, it wasn't always clear. Trust me, this is a journey. Like I have been at all these fearful points. I've said all these things to myself before.
Right.
But I've learned that when I feel the fear, that's when I better run to it. Like there's something like feel the fear. Do it.
I saw a post the other day that said, I forgot exactly. It was about fear, but it was like, move fear. I got shit to do today. get out the way.
I'm saying.
Think about it. It shows up at any given moment. It shows up like all the time, even with some of the craziest things. I know, like for me, you know, when I decided to, you know, go into blogging and podcasting, I was like, well, who am I? You know, who's going to listen to me? Like, why would someone listen to me? And then you think about this group of people who need to hear what Candace has to say. And Candace has her own platform, but what about my audience of people that I can introduce her to that need to hear that it's okay to love this 9-to-5, or it's okay that if you want to escape as we're putting it, this is someone you can tap into. And so I think sometimes fear causes us to not only miss our own blessings, but it causes us to not bless someone else directly or indirectly, because if you don't give someone what they need, you know, God can have you aligned up to do that very thing, to bless someone else. You miss out and they miss out.
Girl, yes. You know, just a couple weeks ago, I had did this podcast episode, and it was about gratefulness. And I was actually interviewing my aunt, and she was talking about growing up in rural Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And that the day that the episode aired, I had put a text message in our family text and was just telling them, you know, to listen to the episode. But I had went above and beyond, because one of the things I had been working on with myself is, again, just be all out, super, super, super all out, unapologetically bold.
Right.
That's something that I have been working on, even myself. And so in that text message, I don't remember what the message was exactly, but I had a message that accompanied listen to this episode. and I sat to type it. And, you know, a few minutes rolled by and one of my family members had wrote back and she said, oh my God, you just don't know. I the message that you just sent was so right on time, because I was praying to God and this certain thing is going on. And like, I needed to hear this very thing. Thank you. And I promise you, Lakeisha, I looked at that and I began to cry.
Yes.
I did. And I said to God, I'm like, oh my God, thank you. And God has a way of giving you the confirmations, right? When you go and you take action and you're obedient, and those things that you were fearful about and you push on the edge, that confirmation that, Candace, this is what I'm telling you.
Right.
You have to be bold because someone needs what you have to say.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm with you.
That's so true. And I think sometimes, like I say, we miss out and we cause that other person to miss out as well, because it could be the very thing that they need to hear to be okay. It could be the very thing we need to say, because sometimes I find myself saying things and I'm like, oh, where did that come from? Oh, that's God. Oh, let me tweet that. You know,
right.
Or like, let me write that down. I was just talking to a cousin not too long ago. She lost her dad about a year ago. Well, I lost both of my parents. I lost my mom and my dad about 3 years ago.
Wow.
And so we were talking about grief. And I told her, I said, what I've learned is that grief is a process that will not stop until I die and I see them again. And she said, whoa, I never thought about it like that. I said, no, we're not taught that. We're not taught that. We're taught that once they die, we bury them, we cry a little bit, and we need to move on. Yes, we need to move on, but I will grieve for my parents. I will grieve for my grandmother. I will grieve for anyone who has died before me until the day that I die and I see them again. It is a process. It is how I go through that process that makes a difference. And so she was like, okay, girl, I don't know what you just told me, but that was good. And I was like, you know, it's like, where did that come from? Like, I had no clue of what that was, period. So then I'm looking online and I see an article that says the exact same thing that I just said. Had never read the article, but it was like, grief is a process and that you shouldn't, you know, rush it. And that you should just go through the motions. It did talk about, you know, making sure that you're taking care of yourself, like you're getting, you're going to have, get therapy and things like that. But it was just like, God, you gave that to me to say to her, to make her feel better. I had no idea what I was saying. It was just coming because I know that pain. I know what that pain is, but I deal with it differently now. You know, when it comes to like Mother's Day, Father's Day, birthdays, holidays, like I have pictures of my parents that I take with me. So they hanging with me on that day. That way they're with me. And people may think I'm crazy. They might be like, who is she talking to? I'm talking to my mom. I'm talking to her. I'm talking to my dad. You know, it's just like things that God gives us, experience that we have that we are afraid to speak on. It's like it will come, it'll just come up in some situation or some conversation and you're like, where did that come from? It's from your experience that you too ashamed to share with somebody else.
Oh my goodness. Lakeisha. Girl, you are preaching. And you know, and just think, right, in your example with the grief, what you said to her, oh my gosh, that is life-altering impact for her, I am sure. Like, oh my gosh. You know, I think about, I was on another podcast and we were talking about marriage and entrepreneurship. And, you know, I started to talk a little bit about my experiences, right? And how I have dealt with and encountered, you know, where things didn't go well from an entrepreneurship and then marriage standpoint, right? And things got a little rocky. Like, it took some boldness for me to talk about that.
Right.
But I know I'm not the only one, right? And so for me to just say, oh, okay, well, keep that to yourself, when you know God has brought you to a place that can impact other people and help them get there and help them continue to move on their journey. It is selfish for me to keep it to myself. And I think we do have to think about our experiences in just that light. Like, you have the opportunity to help and you're not doing it.
Right. And it's sad almost to some degree, because you have something that someone else needs. They need it. They need it for whatever reason. And you're not giving it, you know, you're not giving it to them. And it's almost sad to a point, because it's like, okay, you're, in a way, you're holding that person back from reaching whatever it is that they may need to reach. Like, we don't know how our stories help. I remember reading somewhere where someone said, just stories are freeing. Your stories are liberating. And I think they are, because sometimes, especially when it's bad stuff, it shackles us. Mm-hmm. It keeps us bound because we don't want people to know, you know, what it is that we're talking about, or we don't want people to know what we've been through, when right. actually it's something that they need.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's something that they need. I'm just like, people, we got to do better than that.
Exactly. Exactly. You have it. People need it. You're being selfish.
Exactly. we have got to share, you know, more. So you told us you're a mom of three, mm-hmm. wife, entrepreneur, and also, you know, in the process of full-time transition.
Yep.
How do you do all of that? Like, do you sleep ever?
You know, so I do get my rest now. I do get my rest. But I do get asked that question a lot. And, you know, what I say is I don't do it all. And what I mean by that is, I don't know if you've ever read the book Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes.
No.
Do you know that book? Okay, I recommend that you check it out. But in that book, she talks about how she talks about being a mom, and she talks about how she says, when you see her excelling in one area of her life, she is most certainly failing in another area of her life. Mm-hmm. And I think there is something to that. So I think about the fact, you know, when I'm going hard and, you know, I am in a Sunday trying to get all the episodes done for the podcast for the week, you know, work and respond back to brands and doing all this other stuff. And my children are upstairs playing or like wondering, mommy, when are you going to be free so that we can, I don't know, like watch TV or go do da 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 da. That there literally, there are trade-offs that happen.
Right.
So I by no means have any type of like superwoman cape where I am like super mom, super wife, super businesswoman, like got it all together. But what I have mastered is trying to be more diligent about where I prioritize my time. And even that, even that, Lakeisha, is still a growing point for me. But where I prioritize my time on what's important, and I know since I can't do it all, I hire help.
Yes. Yes. We miss it. Oh, we miss it.
Yeah. There is no way, right? And when we talked about like saying no to things earlier, there's certain things I don't do, right? I have a team of folks in my business, right? So that help me, right? Whether it's a show is going out and somebody needs to know this, or content has to go up on the blog that's ready, all that. There's no way I can do all that, produce seven shows a week, seven blog posts, be on IG, make sure, you know, the brand work, show up at work 9 to 5, make sure the girls have everything that they need. Can't do all that. So knowing that, I say, all right, certain things got to give.
Right.
Let's go hire for this. Let's make sure I have a team for this. Right. So I don't do it all. That's the answer to that question.
And I think sometimes people have the misconception. I mean, I think what you said was key. It was spot on. I think it makes total sense. And I think sometimes people don't get it. Like they, some people say to me, well, you make it look easy. And I'm like, well, it's really not easy. And I don't do it all. I was at a conference, on a panel at a conference in Atlanta not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And, someone caught a snippet of me talking about balance. That girl, it got so many views because I was like, I didn't know it really resonated with people, but it was just what I go by. And I talk about balance is what you define it.
Yes.
Balance is what you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, I am not 100% a good mom.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, I'm not 100% a good employee. Every day, I'm not 100% a good entrepreneur. Some days, some things will slack because, again, like you just said, I cannot do it all.
Yep.
When I am in those modes, they do get it all. They get 100% of what it is. But I allow God to direct me And my first moments of the day are with him. My devotion time is with him, for him to direct my day, because I can plan, but he can laugh and say, girlfriend, what you about to do today? You know, so I tell people I don't feel guilty about that. That's not to say that I just mess around and I'm waiting on this cosmic thing to happen. No, not saying that. What I am saying is that he guides and directs my day. I know the things that I need to do, but at the same time, I'm realistic, you know, about what it is that I can do. And like you say, outsourcing is one of the key things as an entrepreneur.
Yes. Build a team.
Yes.
And the thing is, especially, and I talk about this as part of the transition. And I know you're aware, because I know you believe in that team concept too. As you're in your transition to full-time entrepreneurship, keep in mind, right, you are still in your 9-to-5, right? So you do have those obligations. And, you know, if you got a family, you got all this other stuff. And also think about the fact that you are building, well, depending on what kind of work you're getting in, but you are building this business that, I don't know if all your life you plan to be a solopreneur, and that's fine if you are, that's the path you take. But I think about myself, right? I am building a multi-million dollar company. And so, And so it's important that I start shaping my team. Remember we talked about acting in that CEO and taking on that CEO role, right?
Right.
That I start that now. And I really recognize that my day job is my opportunity and my investor that's helping me,
right,
get my team in place and think about the important hires that I need to make and the things that free me up to work in my genius zone so that I can make my leap faster, right? Sooner, quicker, that type of thing.
Right. And that's, I think that's so important, especially as you continue to, you know, grow and just decide, like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. This is what I'm doing. And I'm serious about, you know, what it is. I think it's so important that we don't lose sight of that. And yeah, you still the boss and you still, you know, have it going on, but I lack in this area and I need help in this area.
Right.
I know that I'm not very good at this, and I'm not a YouTuber, so I'm not finna go look on YouTube 17 hours to learn how to put in a website. I'm finna go hire me somebody, okay? I'm not about to take all these tutorials on Canva to learn how to make a logo. I'm finna go pull up my guy on Fiverr.
Right.
And I'm finna hire him again to make my logo.
Yes, girl. Yes. And that's a maturity point too, Lakeisha. Like when you get serious and know that, okay, if I spend all my brain power trying to figure out how I'm going to code a website or how I'm going to do whatever, how the heck am I going to spend time figuring out what my income streams are going to be, who I need to be talking to, you know, is this a profitable audience? That's stuff that you need to spend your time on, right? Not necessarily the nuts and bolts of things that other people are really, really good at and can do faster.
Right. Come on. And they don't understand. I think a lot of people get it so twisted, like they don't understand how important it is to know what, you know, like to just know what is good for you, what you are good at, what are your skills. Like I don't want to do it all. I don't want to be my web designer. I don't want to be my graphics designer. I don't want to be my social media manager. I don't want to be my PR person. Like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
Like you just said, I want a team of people, preferably people who can come up with me. Right. Not to knock people. If you've already made it, I'm good. Keep going. I want somebody who can come up with me, because sometimes when we get to certain levels, Candace, we forget what it was like to be down there. We forget what it's like. So I want somebody that could come up with me, so when we get to that place, and we will together, Mm-hmm. It's like, man, look where we started at. Remember, yeah, we started out, you know, paying each other just a little bit of money at first, and now right, we're able to fund each other's
right
businesses.
Right. Right.
And that's the thing. We may have started off bartering at first, exchanging things at first. Mm-hmm. You do this and I'm going to do that. And, you know, this, that, and the other. But mm-hmm, now we're at a point where we can take care of each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we're really doing things to help each other out.
Right. And there's something in that too, Lakeisha. Like, when you have those, when you have those type of collaborations or relations, not even collaborations, those type of relationships, right? And support back and forth, entrepreneur to entrepreneur on the come up.
Right.
Like, there is also built into that, that motivation, that accountability of like, okay, yeah, we are getting this. We are getting this together. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like right, that continued push and accountability and support is so important on this journey, right? And
right,
and being around people who understand the hustle to get where you want to go, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, agreed.
Yes, I think that is so, so key. Like, I think it's so important that we recognize, like, what it is. I think somebody just had posted something today, you know, from Chance the Rapper, that said, why are our friends working for other people making less than when we can have them work for us and make, you know, so much more money? And I'm like, wow. I don't think we sometimes think about that. Again, here we go with, mm-hmm, oh, well, I don't know if my business, you know, I don't know, yeah, if it's there yet. I don't know if it's where it needs to be. When your friend really just want to get in. They just want to support you. They just want to, mm-hmm, be, you know, in with it. And they don't care how small it may be.
Right, right, right. Now, what's interesting with that one, now, if you got some good friends, they're really down and supportive, yeah, you all good.
Right.
Now, if you happen to have some friends that do not believe in your
in your, yeah, vision, oh, no, you can't roll with me. Yeah, you can't roll with me. Yeah, no, we not good. Yeah, we not good. Yeah, it has to be in alignment. And I think that's what people miss, too. And I'm so, mm-hmm, glad that you said it that way, because there has to be an alignment.
Right. Right, right, right.
And alignment. But they don't, you know, see that. Yes, it has to be in alignment. So I have certainly enjoyed you. I have one more question for you.
Sure,
one more
question. Sure.
Because, you know, I know some people are like, okay, how do I do this? How, mm-hmm, do you successfully build an exit plan, you know, to leap into entrepreneurship? Because I think the key word here is plan.
Yes, 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 yes. You know, I consider that there are some very, very, very core things. And I've got something for your listeners that they can take away and actually completely free, try to help build this plan. But I think there are some key components of a plan when you're making that transition. The first one, I think, is getting yourself from a financial stability standpoint, right? And really knowing your numbers in general. So
right,
understanding, right, what do I need to live? I call them my need to live numbers, right? What do I need to live? And just being of that, right? And doing your whole financial sort of assessment of, well, what's this? And what might I do if I take the leap? Where would I be here? Where would I be? So right, knowing those numbers, I think, is important. And having as little debt as possible is helpful as well on that path.
Yes.
The other thing I think is important is really getting yourself, you know, as you're building out your plan, right? The financial base is one thing, but also start acting in the future that you want to have now. So understand who you want to serve and how you want to impact in the world, right? Who are you talking to? What's your target? Like, what is their pain? You know, that type of thing. You got to understand that. And now is the time, right, in your plan to build in that testing and learning. Like, I think their pain is this, but let me go do a few interviews with people,
or, right,
you
right,
know, let me do a survey, or let me throw an offer out there and see what happens, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, that's like good stuff, girl.
Yeah. Right. Throw it out there. See what happens. Do a webinar and see what happens. Run some ads. See what happens.
Right.
I think there is a mental shift, right? A mental shift, a mental spirit of getting yourself, right, from the employee to entrepreneur mindset, right? And what that means to really own your business, but also what is that shift for you from your family standpoint, and how will things be different? Like, you have right. to think about that, right? What does that feel like? And let that build excitement for you, but you got to start recognizing that my different feels like this, and start right. embracing that, because that will influence your actions. So that, I think that's a part of it. I think you have the opportunity while you're, you know, in this transition space, you should be thinking about creating visibility. So even if you don't know exactly what you're called for, exactly, first off, start to get clear about that, right?
Right.
And learn some of that through testing. And as you're doing that, start building up an audience, right? Are you talking to people? Are you, I always say at least, offer one thing, like one piece of something free, right? One piece of content, one piece of something that will allow you to start bringing in email addresses, start talking to people, being with social media, start building up your presence there. So I think that's a piece. And then the couple other things I would say is, because your time, right? You've got some constraints on your time, of course.
Right.
You need to start thinking about systems and processes to help you create more capacity to work in the business. And how is that going to be? And of course, your biggest thing is you got to start thinking about monetization, right? You got to start getting this sales mindset, right? That's the purpose right. of doing all your testing, because you need to start building in revenue plans and that type of thing as part of your transition. So I think those are some key components of a plan. And so, you know, for your listeners, I have put together this 9-step checklist. It's more than a checklist. It's a checklist and a guide.
Right.
And so it goes into detail around 9 steps that I think you should take to build out your exit strategy. And for me, I focus a lot on helping women, especially, I think I mentioned earlier, women especially, and especially women that are mothers.
Right.
these different constraints. And that's where I put a lot of my emphasis and service towards, but it applies even if you aren't a mother. But I have this 9-step checklist that you can download for free, and you can get it at fleecorporatechecklist.gr8.com, and that is FLEE corporate checklist.gr8.com. And you can download that for free and start building out that plan. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
That sounds awesome, and I'll definitely put that in the show notes for all of the listeners. I love the nuggets that you have dropped. I think it is awesome. I think it is super, super, super amazing. As I am, you know, planning out 2020, I'm like, I want to just get with some amazing women. And we do something like virtually, because we're like all over mm-hmm. the country. Mm-hmm. But I think women need to hear more of this, that it's okay to work your 9-to-5. If you're mm-hmm. unsure about your calling, here's Candace. Let her help you with this. And mm-hmm. then here's someone else that can help you, you know, do these other things that need to right. be done. I think 2020 needs to be, because the future is women. You know, we just going to rock it out.
We are.
We just going to rock it out. But I want us to be successful, but I want us to do it right. Like, I want us to be able to leave that 9-to-5 if we want to, be able to have our business structure right, get mm-hmm. these government contracts, girl, that are out there.
Yeah,
I mean, for us, we have, you know, they say it's, you know, 2 strikes, you know, minority and a woman, but I think it's 2 precious things, because it's going to get me into a sector of business that I wouldn't have never, ever been able to get into.
Right.
You know, I want us definitely to get into things like that. So I definitely want us to connect next yes. year, doing some things like to help other women. Because I think sure. I have a passion for women as well. Like, I think that's because you can relate as a single mom, you know, trying to, and I ain't gonna say trying, doing it. I'm doing the best mm-hmm. that I can do. So it's not a try to it. I'm doing the best that I can do with what mm-hmm. I have. And I'm happy about that. And I want other women to feel the same way.
I'm right with you.
Yeah, to not even think. Yeah, not to think that they have, it has to look a certain way. We too busy looking at other folks' paper instead of worrying about our own.
Sweeping around our own front door.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so true. So tell the listeners how they can connect with you.
Yeah. So I love to hang out on Instagram. So you can find me at Candace Spears. So just at first name, last name, at Candace Spears on Instagram. I've got my blog over on CandaceSpears.com. You can check it out there. If you want to take a listen to my podcast, Ambition, Honey, and Hustle, you can also find me there. That's available darn near anywhere you listen to podcasts. So you can find it there. You can go to AmbitionHoneyHustle.com too and find it there. And then I would say, make sure, like, if you're on that full-time entrepreneurship journey, go to corporatechecklist.gr8.com and get your checklist and get your plan in order, because I want to see you out there too. So Lakeisha, don't worry. We will connect. Like, we need to,
yes.
We got too much to do.
Yes, we got way too much to do, and we ready to, like, we ready to do that.
Yes.
So I certainly appreciate you taking the time, sharing your story, sharing the tidbits, you know, giving us all of this great information. Like, I think, like I said, I think 2019 prepared us for a lot, but mm-hmm. 2020, we're ready to execute all of this stuff that we need to do. Yes. All of this stuff. So, yes, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love it. So, thanks again for being on. And we will definitely have you back on. Definitely have you back on.
Yes, and I'm gonna have to get you over on Ambition, Honey, and Hustle. So
I would love to.
We're gonna have to make that happen.
I would love to. That would be awesome.
Thank you for having me, Lakeisha. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it is a pleasure. Thank